Dear God, we are so thankful for the privilege this evening, Lord, to be able to come together via teleconference to hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we are thankful for this opportunity on this day, a day that we've never seen before. Pray, Lord, that we can fulfill your charge of the Great Commission with Brother Dale Stone this evening, breaking to us the bread of life, proclaiming to us what is required of all men to be saved. Pray, Lord, that he impart us with the blessing of the gospel, so that those listening may know what your good and perfect will is and obey it before it is eternally and lasting too late. Pray, Lord, he preached that form of doctrine in such a way, Lord, that someone seeking truth this evening can recognize it as your authority, as your inspired gospel. Pray, Lord, they see the love you have for all mankind through your Son Jesus by way of his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, his precious blood that he shed, giving his life in place of our own. Thank you, Lord, for raising him up. Thank you for the church of Christ, the church that he built and established and purchased with his own blood. Lord, we ask that you allow your word to have free course this evening. Bless our speaker. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you also, Brother Plunder, for assisting me and being my co-host, also my assistant minister, Art Stroud, being who are working with me to make this program, all those that are working with us in this program and all the work that's going on behind the scene. We thank so much for everyone who supports us tonight. We're especially thankful for our visitors. As always, we want you to know you are a VIP of the call. You're a very important person tonight, and we pray that you would now open your Bible and take notes of the things that our speaker will speak about tonight as pertaining to saving of your soul. We are living in a time where death is evident to us. It's all over the TV. People are dying. It was Jesus who said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. And we want to go to heaven. And so we put this call on to inform you what the Bible say. There's a straight and narrow way, a simple truth that every individual must know before they die. Tonight, in the person of Brother Dale Stone, man I've grown to know and love, I worked with him in Syracuse, New York. We preached together, and we're so thankful for him. He's an elder at the Southside Church of Christ in Lubbock, Texas. Man of God, a man of certainly great character and someone I truly love. Tonight he'll speak on the topic, those who are believers. Brother Dale, will you tell us, what does the Bible say about those who are believers?
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Brother Brooks and Brother Flunder for the opportunity to speak on this call. Brothers I love very much, and I appreciate them for the work that they do, and proud to be a part of it tonight. James 2:19 tells us, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. When people are asked this question, most people have a different idea than what is taught in the Bible. Most people believe that if you acknowledge God or Christ in any way, that you are a believer. The widespread theory in the religious world today says that you're a believer if you say you're saved or if you've accepted Jesus into your heart. Nothing more is required of the individual. The idea today is that I'm okay, you're okay. These ideas are for man and pleasing to man's ears because there is no commitment. And everybody is right. No one has a problem. Look around the world today and you can see the attitude that if I like it, God will too. In the Word of God, belief is much different than what man says or thinks. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. One of the greatest problems mankind has had from day one is authority. In the world today, this continues to be a problem because we all seem to want things our way. Even though God has gave instructions to Adam and Eve in the garden, and there was no question that God was plain because in Genesis 3 and verse 3, Eve told the serpent, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. So we know that the choice was made because they did not respect the authority of God, our Maker and the supreme being of all mankind. Thus, because Adam and Eve chose not to respect and believe God's truth and his authority, and instead listen to the lie of the serpent, mankind's greatest problem, sin, or spiritual death, entered into the world and continues even now. This did not happen and will not happen when we choose to obey God, the ultimate authority. But like Adam and Eve, we all often make the choice to do things our own way instead of God's. We know that God has always hated sin, but has always made the choice ours and gives us opportunities not to sin. But as humans, we all lose focus on the important things. In Genesis 6 and verse 5, we're told that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. God was sorry that he had made man, and it grieved him in his heart. He decided that he would destroy man whom he had created from the face of the earth. But in Genesis 6 and verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then in verse 9, the Bible says, "And Noah was a just man and walked with God." Thus we see that Noah believed God, and because he was willing to act on the belief, when God told him to build an ark to save him and his family, the Bible says he did exactly and completely what God asked him to do. Genesis 6:22 says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Only Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives were saved in the ark, the only safe place during the flood that killed all the rest of mankind." In Genesis 17, we're told that through Abraham, God would make a covenant that Abraham would be the father of many, many nations. Abraham heard those words and believed that God would do what he said, even though at an old age that son, which the promise was to be fulfilled, was not born yet. So not understanding how it would happen at 100 years old, Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah. In Genesis 21:12, the Bible says, "For in Isaac shall all thy seed be called." So in the next chapter, God tempted or tested Abraham. The instruction was now to take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. Can you imagine what thoughts went through the mind of Abraham? But no questions were asked. Early the next morning, he saddled up, took two young men, Isaac, the wood for the burnt offering, and went to the place where God had told him. We know that Abraham believed God and his promise because he told the two young men to stay here. The lad and I will go and worship and come again to you. And Isaac spake to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, my son." And Isaac said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said to his son, "God will provide." Then Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order, bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And the angel said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son from me." And Abraham looked up, and behind him, caught in the thicket, was a ram. And Abraham offered him up as a burnt sacrifice instead of his son. And the Lord said, "Because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, and in thy seed all nations shall be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And Abraham returned to the young men. We need to realize that God has always done his part, and when we submit to him, we hear his will, believe his will, obey his will, and then we will receive the rewards and benefits of his will. When we use these Old Testament examples to show that man has always had problems taking advice or learning from the past, for we tend to believe that we have new and better ideas. But we read in Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the old path where the way, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." God has given us plenty of examples in the Old Testament to help us realize that the paths of sin never work for very long. God gives us opportunities to change for the better, but like in the times of Noah, he will only take so much. Many examples of how God deals with sin are given to teach us, but it seems that we believe that we will be the exception to God's will. We know that in Romans 15:4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." We should be grateful for the many examples that God has given us, both bad and good, that help us learn how he punishes sin when we disobey and how he rewards the good when we obey his will. One definition man has given for a believer is one that has received Christ or Christ has received them. But let's consider what the Bible says. In Matthew 6:21, the Bible teaches that your treasure is there, that where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. Does your mouth say one thing, but your life shows something different? Because in Matthew 6:24, the Bible says no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And in Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So from this statement, do you realize that whatever you put first in your life has replaced God, therefore becoming your God? This can easily be shown in our lives. Where do we spend our time? What do we give our attention and efforts to? Where do we spend our money? God will not settle for second place. So when we examine our lives, we need to evaluate whether we're pleasing ourselves or God. If God is not the answer, we need to rearrange our priorities and start now, because we do not know how long we have to make things right with God. We're on God's timeline, and we need to realize that life without God is meaningless. God made us creatures of choice, and this is something that we really need to consider. Joshua tried to be the right light or example in his day when he told the people around him, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:15. We know that God made a way for us to take care of the sin problem, because in Matthew 1:21, it lets us know that Jesus came for that purpose. "And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." His people believe and obey his will. So as believers, we must be one of his people if we want to be saved from our sins. To be one of his people, we must be in him. So keep that thought in your mind. How can we get into Christ or into him? Romans 5:18-19 says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by righteousness of one free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience were made sinners, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many were made righteous." In America today, we have the freedom to choose what we will do with our lives, but we know that most of us will consider the wrong way or choose the wrong way. How many of us have said, "Oh, this is the easy way, everyone else is doing it," or "This is a popular way"? But in Matthew 7:13-14, we'll find that that's not the way that we're told in the Bible. We're told to enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Friends, do we want to be part of the broad way or part of the narrow way that leads to life? If we choose to take our lives down the narrow way, we will follow Jesus' example. After all, if we are believers or disciples, we will follow Jesus and we will submit our will to God the Father, doing things His way and not ours. The Bible calls this repentance, or a change of focus, saying and showing that I will strive to quit putting my will first and strive to do what pleases God by doing His will. Or in other words, make a turn in my life by saying what I need to do and by living my life showing what I'm striving to do. But in the world today, most people think they can improve on God's way because they think they have a better idea. I've been working in the industrial scene all my life, and about every 15 or 20 years, someone comes up with a new idea. But most of the time, it's just something that we've done in the past. The same thing happens in the spiritual realm. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." It seems to me that in the world today, people want a big reward for a little, very little effort. And when we decide to follow Jesus, it must be 100% commitment to the cause before our reward will become reality. If we are a believer, or in other words, Christ-like, we need to consider what the book of Philippians tells us, beginning in chapter 2 and verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Verse 7 says, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Have we really counted the cost if we say that we are believers? Are we willing to commit to being a servant? Because most of us think of ourselves as more than a servant, but if we follow Jesus, that's exactly what we will become. Then in verse 8, we realize that we have to be obedient to God's will, just like Jesus did. "And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." We know that Jesus said, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Matthew 26:39. So Jesus' prayer was that if there be any other way, let's do it that way. But if not, Father, I'm willing to do it your way. We must realize that to be pleasing to God, we must be his servants. And if not, we will be serving Satan. We have a choice. Who will it be? Romans 6:16 tells us, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness?" Which way will we choose? Sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness? We know that commitment was never a problem for Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul, but what he believed was the problem. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God until Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. In Acts chapter 9, even though Saul believed in Jesus after that encounter, he was not saved. The blinded Saul was taken into Damascus to wait for further instructions. Ananias was sent to teach Saul with words that he needed to be saved. He was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord in Acts 22:16. Calling on the name of the Lord shows that he now believed that Jesus is the Son of God, and through baptism he became a child of God. Acts 9 and verse 20 shows a change of belief and a change of action. The things that we need to do today when we're not pleasing to God. And straightway Saul preached Christ in the synagogues, using the scriptures to prove that Christ is the Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life, according to John 14:6. After learning the truth about Jesus Christ, Saul's mission changed 180 degrees, as we should do after learning the truth of the gospel. Many in the world today are like King Agrippa. They want the benefit, but not the commitment, as we see in Acts 26, 27 through 29. Paul asked King Agrippa, "Believest thou the prophets?" Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Then Paul, with disappointment in his eyes and heart, said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds." Paul knew that being a Christian or a believer was much more than a saying. It had to be 100% commitment. Many in the world today think that if they say they are a believer, they have punched their ticket into heaven. But Hebrews 11:6 lets us know otherwise. Our faith must be diligent, or in other words, with all our being, striving to do God's will. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. James 2, verses 17 through 20 says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is a God, thou doest well." Actually, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." I like the way Jesus said it in identifying the true believers in Matthew 7, 15 through 21. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." How long do we have to continue being faithful? Revelation 2:10 tells us that we have to be faithful unto death if we want to receive a crown of righteousness. We know that according to Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2 and verse 3 says, "In whom, that being Christ, are hid all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge." According to Matthew 16:15 through 18, Jesus asked Peter, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say to thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In other words, you, Peter, have believed and said that I, Christ, am the Son of God, and upon this statement I will build it, which is my church. Since Jesus built his church, he is the owner, and he should be called the Church of Christ because it is his. He is the owner, and he purchased it with his blood, Acts 20:28. Friends, do you realize that this is the only church that's in the Bible? Why would you choose to believe in something other than what Jesus built? According to 1 Corinthians 12, the church is Christ's body. Colossians 1:18 says, "And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have preeminence." And in Colossians 1:14, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." In Romans 16:16, the Bible says, the churches of Christ salute you, or in other words, the congregations of the Church of Christ around the world greet you. Since we have established that Jesus will build his church and give Peter the keys to the kingdom in Matthew 10:19, and according to many prophecies in the Old Testament, such as Isaiah 53 and Joel 2:28, we see that Peter did use those keys in the sermon on the day of Pentecost. The kingdom did come from power from on high. And when the people heard Peter's sermon on that day, many believed and realized what they had done. They had killed the Christ. Beginning in Acts 2:36, we read, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut or pierced in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Being pierced or cut in the heart indicates that they believed what Peter wanted to do. In the same chapter, verse 40, people were told to save themselves, meaning that they needed to act on the information that Peter and the apostles had given them to be saved from their sins. Just hearing the truth wasn't enough. In verse 41, about 3,000 obeyed and were told that they were added to the church. In Acts 2:47, the Bible continues by telling us what the newly added believers went about in their days, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. From this verse, we realize that when we obey his will, the Lord is the one that adds us to his church, the Church of Christ. In Acts 4:12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. Today we must do the same things as they did to have the same results. So let us review what we must do to get into Christ, where all spiritual blessings are. First, we must hear his word. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not heard, whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? We must believe his word after hearing it. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or on the way to salvation. We know that in Acts 8:37 that Philip, after preaching Jesus to the eunuch, asked him if thou believed with all of his heart that he could be baptized. And the Ethiopian eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're all familiar with John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We must realize that the word should shows that we have the option to perish if we don't continue to believe. The ETH on the end of the word believe means that we continue believing. And this is plainly taught in John 8:31 and 32. And Jesus said to those Jews which believed in on him, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Friends, the next step towards salvation is to repent. We're told in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Acts 17:30, the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And then in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted of, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Friends, do we want salvation or do we want death? We need to repent and turn away from our own ways and turn to God's ways. Another thing that's on the way to salvation is confession. Matthew 10:32 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then in Acts 8:37, as we've already mentioned, the eunuch did confess that he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. In Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or on the way to salvation. Friends, we realize that we must be in Christ before we can be saved, as we've already mentioned. Galatians 3:26-29 says, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Therefore, if we have put on Christ, we are now in Christ, where all spiritual blessings exist. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed that we talked about early in this lesson, and heirs according to the promise. And friends, that's how Abraham's seed blesses all nations, as we talked about in Genesis 22:18. Romans 6:3-4 says, know ye not that so many of us have been baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we are true believers, we are trying to follow Christ's example. In baptism, we take part of dying to ourselves, which is known as repentance, being buried in the water where we meet Christ's blood, and then being raised up out of the water to walk a new life in Christ with our sins washed away. Romans 6:18 confirms that baptism makes us servants of righteousness. Being then, through the act of baptism, we are free from sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness. Again, in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church, daily, that you should be saved. When you are baptized into Christ, the Lord adds you to the church of Christ, where all spiritual blessings are. Friends, according to the scriptures that we have discussed tonight, are you a true believer? If not, let us help you to become one. And I'll turn it back over to our host, Brother Tommy Brooks.
Thank you, Brother Dale. We're very grateful for the lesson tonight. And certainly we pray that everyone has listened carefully tonight as pertaining to believers. And we want to go to heaven. And so, Brother Stone, we are so thankful that you brought this lesson, made it very plain for our listening audience to hear. Unfortunately, many believe that you just got to believe, and all you got to do is believe. But obedience is required, as Brother Dale has taught us tonight. If you're on the call tonight, you want to be saved, you want to obey the gospel, you want to be a part of that group, the few that will make it in, according to Jesus, there will be few that will find that straight and narrow way. You can do that tonight. You can be baptized tonight. If you want to be baptized, get back with the person who put you on this call. Tell them you want to obey the truth, you want to be saved, and we'll make the arrangement. They'll help you. And if they can't help you, you go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make the arrangement, no matter where you are, to get you further taught. If you need more teaching or you want to be baptized, you just want to know more, we'll be happy to set up a Bible class, make all the arrangements for you, because your soul is that valuable to us. However, you may want to go back and just listen to this lesson again, along with many others, different topics that we've had since the month of May. Just go to our website. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And you go on there and go to Sermon, Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call, and all of the flyers are there. You can download the flyers. You can download the message. You can listen to it over and over. It's free. There's no charge for it. Just go on there and help yourself. We want you to be saved. Amen. So let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for this day you've given us. We know it wasn't promised to us, but we thank you for it. Father, we thank you for Brother Dale tonight, for him bringing this message in a very simple and plain way. And most of all, we thank you for loving us and giving your only son, and who died a cruel death on the cross and suffered and shed the blood that will wash our sins away. Only will we believe and obey. So we pray, Father, a prayer of thankfulness for your love, thanking you for his love, knowing that it's greater than no other man. As he said, greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life. And we're thankful that he laid it down for us as his friends. So be with our listening audience tonight, Father. We pray that our hearts will open, that they will receive your word with meekness, knowing it's able to save their souls. Thank you so very much for all you do. In Jesus' name, we pray this prayer. Amen. Join us again tomorrow night, Brother Frank Hamilton, Port Arthur, Texas. Truth making us free. What does the Bible say about it? Call and hear about that. And if you're on the call tonight, we pray if you want to be saved, you would do that. We pray everyone tonight can have a peaceful night's rest. I don't see how anyone can rest peacefully, unsure of their salvation. Think about that. Maybe you need to do something about it. Good night. We love you.